Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, we're in a series. It's called Frequently Avoided Questions. We're talking about some of the things that for some reason the church hasn't really wanted to deal with from time to time. Last week, we started, Easter Sunday, talking about the resurrection. And we talked about the fact that this is a church that believes that Jesus actually died and he actually came back to life. And last week, we talked all about why we believe that, and I challenged you to kind of begin to believe that. And some of you actually did. You changed your mind. You began to say, okay, I can accept that. Others of you, you were like, man, that's good. I'm close, but I still have a few questions. I still have a few concerns. I still have a few doubts. And that's why we're talking about what we're talking about this week. We're actually going to talk about what do we do when we have doubts. And let me just go ahead and let the tension out of the room. We all have doubts about God. Everybody in this room, including me. Shocker. I do. There are times I have doubts about God. And there are times you have doubts about God. Some of you have doubts about God because, you know, you just wrestle with this idea of, man, how could a loving God allow evil and suffering? You see stuff on the news and you're like, man, there can't be a God. Or maybe something's happened to you personally, and you're like, man, there's no way that there could be a loving God who would allow this to happen to me. Or maybe you have a very logical brain like I do that just kind of sees logic and order and reason and it likes science. And so you take that brain, that scientific brain, and you try to apply it to this faith in God, and you just can't make it work, right? And so you have all these questions, and you have all these concerns, you have all these doubts, and you don't know what to do with them. I mean, you're here, but you're not really sure that you belong here because you're like, some of these people, they believe all this stuff, and I believe some of it, but I'm not sure I believe all of it, and is it okay that I don't believe all of it, or should I believe all of it, or can I believe none of it until I believe all of it? Like, you don't really know how you fit. And so, again, I myself have doubts from time to time. There have been times I've been lying in bed, and I'll be honest with you, man, I will just freak out because I'm like, I not only believe, but I make my living telling other people that a Jewish carpenter died and came back to life. That's crazy. And for some of you, when I make that announcement, you're a little shocked. Others of you, you are so relieved. Because if the preacher can have doubts, that means you can too, right? Like, it can't be that bad. That's kind of the first thing I want you to hear from me today is, no, it's not bad. It's not wrong to have doubts and to have questions. In fact, I think it's healthy. I think it is a good thing to have questions and to wrestle with those questions and to have doubts. I'm a little freaked out by people that don't have any questions at all. You know, but the problem is that's kind of the way the church has presented ourselves forever. Like, we've kind of presented ourselves as no, don't bring your questions here. Don't bring your concerns. Don't bring your doubts. No. We all just believe. We just believe. We have faith. We have really what I call, we have a bumper sticker theology, basically. If you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe you've been driving and you've seen these bumper stickers. And if you have these bumper stickers, I'm not making fun of you a lot. It's just a little. But maybe you've seen some of these bumper stickers. Now, here's the first one. Maybe you've seen the one that says, honk if you love Jesus, right? Number one, that's a terrible idea. Don't do that because no one knows why you're honking. They just think you're being rude. The one I like is a little better. It says, tithe if you love Jesus. Anyone can honk. I like that one better. You know, I mean, anybody can honk. Maybe you've seen this one. In case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. Some of you may not be familiar with what rapture is. There's several different interpretations of the book of Revelation, which is the book at the end of the Bible, how the world's going to end. One of those interpretations that was popularized in a book series when I was in college, and later a series of terrible movies. They were the Left Behind series, but what they did is they popularized this view that there's going to be a point one day where all the Christians are just going to disappear, like dream a genie, you know, like God's just going to go boom, and we're all going to be gone. And what's going to happen is when it's all gone, we're going to literally just go. So I feel like if you're driving in a car and you're driving and you're a Christian and the rapture happens, car is going to, you know, plane's going to be crashing, all that kind of stuff. Like, that's what we believe is going to happen by this loving, orderly, peaceful God. Anyway, and so the bumper sticker I like that goes along with that, this one might be a little sacrilegious, but it's okay because you're going to laugh at it, I hope, is this one. It says, in case of rapture, can I have your car? I like that one. I like that one a lot. That one makes me smile. Now, the last one, this is a bumper sticker, and again, the sentiment I get. But it's a little simplified for what we're going to talk about today, right? And here's the last one I want to show you. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Now, nothing wrong with that. In fact, I believe that. But how, you know how that comes across to a world with questions? To a world with concerns and to a world with doubts and things they don't quite understand? What it comes across is that my faith and my belief is purer and better than yours because I don't have questions and you do. Therefore, you need to go away because we don't have time for you. That's how it sounds when we communicate that way and when we speak in these strong statements. And when we just say, well, if you don't understand it because the Bible said it. You've heard me say this a thousand times. The Bible doesn't say anything. The Bible is a collection of ancient manuscripts written by men who loved God. And it's amazing that this collection all tells one story. But men say things. Matthew says things. Mark says things. Luke, John, Paul, James, Moses, they say things. The Bible, it doesn't say anything. So quit saying the Bible says things, right? Because we kind of use that to beat people. Well, the Bible says, like, I don't care. I'll actually talk more about that next week. But see, the way I think we should approach people with questions, because we all have questions, is number one in honesty. Acknowledging, you know what, we have questions too. And number two, with compassion. I say, hey, you have questions, you have doubts. Okay, well come in, because see, that's not the way we've done it for so long. And what that's done is that's created a couple of different approaches to doubt, right? Approach number one is, you know, I'm a Christian, but every time I have these questions and every time I have these doubts and every time things don't make sense, I feel guilty about it. And I feel like I'm sinning and I feel like I'm letting God down because I don't believe strong enough, right? And so you feel guilty about your questions. You feel guilty about your doubts. Another approach that people take this is they say, hey, look, I'm interested in Jesus. I see how Christians behave and it's kind of appealing to me, but I cannot wrap my brain around all of it. I still have questions. I still have doubts. I really want to know what happened to the dinosaurs. Where are the dinosaurs? Why can't anyone explain the dinosaur? You know, dinosaurs are a big deal to these people. Like, they really want to know what's happening with the dinosaurs. And, you know, these are people with scientific brains. Like, you can't prove God scientifically. And so what you believe is because you can't get all your questions answered, you can't have faith in God. And you can't have a relationship with Jesus. Like, I have to have all these things answered first. And it's probably, you're trying to be good. You're trying to say, I want to have faith, but you can't have faith and doubt. And so I got to get rid of all my doubt before I can have faith. And I don't think that's a good approach either. And then the third group of people in the room, you have faith, and you also have questions pop up in your mind from time to time, but you just deny them. You just ignore them like they're not there. It's like, la, 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 I don't have questions. You know, and you think that'll make it okay. That's a bad approach too. So what I would like to do today is I would like to present to you another approach, because here's the deal. We all have doubts. We all have questions about God. So just accept that. Stop asking the question. Stop thinking, oh no, I have doubts. And start asking, what should I do with my doubts? And see, I think there's an approach we can take that'll be very beneficial and very helpful to all of us. And we learn this approach from Jesus. In Jesus' life, there were many people that had doubts about him. His brothers doubted him. There's actually one instance in the Bible where his mom doubts him. His closest followers doubted him. And the example I want to talk about today, the picture I want to show you today, is this guy named John the Baptist. And see, John the Baptist doubted Jesus and doubted who he is. And the reason I want to focus on John the Baptist is because if any of you in the room today have ever felt like, you know, I shouldn't doubt God because. If you've ever felt that way, like, man, you know, I've been a Christian too long. This happened, I shouldn't doubt God anymore. That's why I bring up John the Baptist. Because if there's anybody on the planet that should not have doubted God and Jesus, it was John the Baptist. Let me explain. John's father was a priest. And before John was born, an angel appeared to John's father and said, you're going to have a son, you're going to name him John, and he is going to tell the world that the Messiah is coming. Like, flat out, angel says, this is what's going to happen. The Messiah was this ruler that the Jewish nation, they were expecting. They thought it was going to be a political leader, right? They thought he was going to come and he was going to set them free at that time from Roman rule. And he was going to reestablish the nation of Israel as a kingdom. He was going to be another king like King David had been a king. And they were waiting on this guy to come mount this resurrection, I mean, this insurrection and just set everything, you know, overthrow all the rulers and really reestablish the nation of Israel. That's what they thought. And so John's father was told before John was born, your son is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. So John's entire life, he knew what his role was going to be. His father was a priest, which means he would have been trained in the ways of Judaism. He probably memorized the entire Old Testament. He knew it. He later took some other vows and dedicated his life completely to God. Oh, did I mention Jesus was his cousin? He knew Jesus. He spent time with Jesus. He hung out with Jesus. And he knew Jesus was the Messiah. He knew Jesus was the Son of God. And see, we see this cool story at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Maybe you've heard about it where Jesus was baptized. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus shows up and says, hey, I need to get baptized. And John the Baptist says, dude, I can't baptize you. You're the Messiah. You need to baptize me. I don't need to baptize you. And Jesus says, no, I need to be baptized. And so John the Baptist baptizes. See, that's why I call him John the Baptist. You get it? It's kind of catchy. Baptizes Jesus. And what the biographies of Jesus' life tell us is that as John is baptizing Jesus, they say that God's voice was audibly heard by all around. And he said, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. So John the Baptist had been told by his parents from birth, your job is to prepare the way for the Messiah. He had been raised learning about all the things about the Messiah. He baptized Jesus, the Messiah, and he heard God audibly speak to him and say, this is the Messiah. This is my son. This is the guy you've been waiting on. And with that in mind, we turn to Matthew 11. Matthew is the first of the four biographies of Jesus' life. Matthew was a tax collector, had his life changed by Jesus. He's an eyewitness to these things. And he tells us this story in Matthew chapter 11. He says, John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples, his followers, to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah? Or should we keep looking for someone else? Now, I cannot overstate how shocking this is that John the Baptist is doubting Jesus. This is like LeBron doubting his ability to play basketball. This is like Lady Gaga doubting her ability to shock people. I mean, this is crazy. This guy had everything. I just told you, I mean, from birth, he even told what was going to happen. He baptizes Jesus. God literally speaks to him. Yet he doubts. He has questions. Why? Well, two reasons, I think. And Matthew kind of mentions them. The two reasons. His circumstances changed, and his expectations were not met. See, his circumstances changed. He was in prison. Why was he in prison? Because he had been telling the king at the time, King Herod, who had stolen his brother's wife, hey, that wasn't a good idea to steal your brother's wife. And Herod got sick of it, so he threw him in jail. And John knew he was about to die. And if you read further in the story, you find out John, in fact, does die. He's beheaded, which is awful. So his circumstances have changed, and his expectations were not met. See, his expectation of the Messiah was to be that ruling leader, was to be that rebel. He was supposed to lead a rebellion to overthrow the government. Jesus was doing none of that. And so John, because his circumstances had changed and his expectations were not met, began to have questions and doubts about God. I don't know about you, but I can certainly relate. When I have questions about God, when I have doubts, it tends to be because my circumstances have changed or my expectations have not been met. I talk all the time about my three boys. I have three sons, David, Jonathan, and Jacob, 8, 6, and 3. What some of you know and some of you don't is for those three sons, my wife was pregnant 6 times. Which means 3 times I had to watch her go to the doctor, filled with joy, only to be told something was wrong. And she needed to come back in 1 to 2 weeks. And I had to walk with her through that 2 weeks of suffering and agony. And we prayed and I just knew, you know, come on, God. Like I'm working for you here. Like, this is what I do for a living. Hook a brother up. Help me out. It didn't happen. My expectations weren't met. And I'll be honest, that's when I doubt God. When we moved here to start this church, to start Wellspring, for the first year, man, it was slow going. It was tough. I mean, literally, you take this section right here, just this section, and that would be it. We didn't do 2 services. We did 1, and it was just this section for like a year. And I'm like, I love you people, but come on, guy, let's move. You know? And I began to doubt, God, did you call me here? Are you even real? Am I just wasting my time? And see, I think for most of you, that's when your doubts and fears begin to creep in as well. It's when your circumstances change or when your expectation isn't met. When the relationship doesn't work out. When the doctor says you need to come back next week. When someone else gets the promotion. See, we tend to judge God's goodness based on how much he does what we want him to do in our life. And see, that's what John was doing. John was saying, whoa. I was told I was going to be the forebearer of the Messiah. We didn't say anything about cutting my head off. That was not in the book. Dad, did you know that? Because you should have told me that. And God, what are you doing? You got this guy, he walks around in a robe and he's nice to people and he's even healing the Roman soldier's kid. Like, what is that? No, we're supposed to, when's the rebellion start? What's happening? And so he doubted God. And that's when I doubt God and that's when you doubt God. When our circumstances change, when our expectations aren't met. Some of you right now are wrestling with doubt right now because your circumstances have changed or because your expectations have not been met. And the reason you're here today is to hear this story, because what I think God wants you to do is the very same thing John did. It's the thing John did right. When we have doubts, we take our doubts to Jesus. We take them to him. We don't try to wrestle with them ourselves. We don't try to read enough books. We don't search the internet. We don't scour. We talk to the God of the universe. See, some of you don't even realize we can do that. We can pray. And we can ask God to speak to us. And he will. Now, some of you may say, man, I don't know how to do that. I don't really understand. That's okay. Go to somebody who does. The friend that invited you here, ask them. They can help. If you're in a community group, ask somebody in a community group. Call the church office. No, we're not, none of us are Jesus, but we can help point you to Jesus, because the key is when we have doubts, we must take them to Jesus. See, the reason we don't take them to Jesus is because we're afraid he's going to be mad at us. We're afraid he's going to look down at us. We're afraid he's going to say, well, why are you asking such a stupid question? Are you serious? I've said it 5 times. How are you? He's like, seriously, the dinosaurs again? Seriously? Are you really? God. Dad, I told you we shouldn't do that because they're asking about the dinosaurs again. Can we just tell them it was a joke? Gotcha. See, that's what we think, right? And see, I think that's why we have this story. Because we get to see how Jesus responds when we have questions. We get to see what he would do. And this is what he does. Verse 4, Jesus told him, the disciples of John would come. He told them, he said, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. That the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Now we hear that and we say, well, that's good. That'll probably help John. But see, 2,000 years ago, they were a very literate society in terms of the Old Testament, right? The vast majority of them had learned it from their entire lives. John himself would have had it memorized again because his dad was a priest. You see, the Old Testament tells a story of the nation of Israel from the creation of the earth up to about 400 or 500 years before Jesus was born. And in the Old Testament, we have history, we have poetry, and we have prophecy. See, what God would do is God would speak through men, and sometimes he would say, go tell the people that they need to change. And that's what the prophets would do. But then other times, God would say, here's a promise I want to give to these people that they can hold on to. And so they would write that down as well. And there's a lot of promises about the Messiah, that the Messiah is going to come, that he's going to come rescue Israel, that he's going to set them free, that he's going to change the world. And so what Jesus is doing right here is he's quoting one of those prophecies for John. So in effect, he is answering John perfectly. John says, are you the Messiah? And Jesus quotes a prophecy about the Messiah to confirm that he's the Messiah. He says exactly what John needs to hear. Think of it like this. I assume most of you have alarm systems at your home. I do, and if you're like me, the only people who ever set off your alarm are your children. Never been broken into one time. My children, tons of times, set off our alarm. And every single time I got to give it to my monitoring company, they always call. Every time. Like, we can turn it off in 10 seconds. They still call. And what do they always say? They call and say, who am I speaking with? They say, this is Drake Kelly. And they say, yes, what's your code word? And I say, you thought I was going to tell you my code word, didn't you? No. I say the code word, and they say, okay, Mr. Kelly, what happened? I say, my kids are stupid. And they say, okay. And they, I don't say that ever. But see, they call. I give them the code word to confirm that it's me. Jesus gave the code word to John to confirm that it was him. He didn't get mad. He didn't say, seriously, you're asking me questions. He said, John, I'm going to answer your question perfectly because you handled this perfectly. You came to me. And that's exactly what I want you to do. And here's the answer. And he gave it to him. And see, I believe that if we take our questions, if we take our fears, if we take our doubts to Jesus, he will do the very same thing. But we don't want to do that, again, because we're scared, because we're worried about what he's going to say. And see, that's why I think we have the rest of this story. See, we think he's going to get mad at us. We think our doubt makes our faith weak. But see, the story doesn't end. John's buddies leave and go back to tell John the good news or whatever it is he said, and the crowd begins to murmur about John, because they heard this conversation. They're like, can you believe that? John the Baptist doubting Jesus? Wait till his mom finds out. They took to Facebook, pray for John. He has doubt. They just praying for him and all kind of what, bless his heart, all that kind of stuff. And Jesus senses this. And so Jesus says this. He says, I tell you the truth, of all who've ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. He's trying to say, no, you think he's weak? You think he's weak for asking me this question? I was like, do you know what he was called to do? He's a prophet. There's nobody greater than John the Baptist. And the people don't quite get it. And so what he does is he kind of flips the topic. He stops talking about John and he starts talking about some of the places that he had been, that he had been, you know, performing miracles, and they had rejected him. And here's what he says. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. See, they're still thinking about John asking all these questions, and Jesus is like, whoa, wait. Let me tell you about some people who missed the boat. Right? I'll tell you about places I've been, and I performed miracles in front of them, and they completely rejected me. Right? Right. They're the people that we should be praying for, not John the Baptist. See, here's the point Jesus is trying to make. Doubt and unbelief are not the same thing. They're not. Just because you have questions, just because you have doubts, does not mean you have unbelief. See, that's why he's making this point. Because you have John, mega-credentialed super dude, heard God literally speak to him, and he asks questions. But what does he do? He brings him to Jesus. And Jesus says, right on. Then you have these other people in all these places where Jesus came and performed miracles, and they didn't even give him a second thought. They didn't even wrestle with doubt. They didn't even worry about doubt. They just completely rejected. They completely disbelieved. They didn't even engage at all. And Jesus says, that's the problem. Not engaging at all is the problem. Not doubting. Doubting's good. And then he says this. See, he prayed. And he kind of did one of those where he prayed out loud so everybody could hear him. It's kind of like he looks to God and he says, at that time he prayed, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. What he's basically saying is he's saying, those people in those towns, they thought they had it all figured out. They were wise and clever, and I didn't fit into their box. And so they just rejected me. He said, now John on the other hand, John was childlike. And see, we hear that, maybe you've heard the phrase, you're supposed to have a childlike faith, and we think that means simple and all that kind of stuff. But I have three children, they're not simple. But you know what they do? They ask a ton of questions. Do your children, please tell me your children also ask questions. I hope mine aren't just weirdos. Like, they all ask questions. From the time they wake up in the morning, they're asking questions. From the time they go to bed at night, they're asking questions. Questions about everything. My children are sports nuts. So they wake up, Dad, did the Braves play last night? Yes. Who'd they play? The Reds. Did they win or lose? Oh, they won. Well, what was the score? I have to tell them. What did Justin Upton do? What did BJ do? Probably strike out. And they just ask constant questions. My youngest, constantly, going to his mom. My wife, who loves our children, just said to me just the other day, I just wish he would stop saying that. I just wish he would stop saying it. But seriously, kids ask a ton of questions. They ask constant questions. Do you know why they ask questions? Because they want to know the answer. And there's no other way to know unless you ask. See, I think when Jesus is comparing the wise and the proud to the childlike, he's saying, look, the problem is being wise and proud. The problem is thinking you've got it all figured out and you don't even need to engage with anything. Questions is what I want. Because questions mean you're engaged. Questions means you're wrestling. Questions means you're thinking. I want your life as a Christ follower to be characterized by questions. Anything, everything, big things, small things, when it pops into your head, ask me. Just like John did. Not these other places that didn't wrestle and that didn't listen and didn't engage. Ask the question. See, here's the point. Our doubt can lead to a deeper relationship with Jesus. Because our doubt is produced by questions. And when we take those questions to Jesus, he can answer those questions. And then we begin to see, oh, okay, well, this does make sense, and this is real, and man, I still have some questions, but that was a really good answer to that one. Wow. I got to think about that for a while. That one got me. See, the point I'm trying to hopefully get you to see today is the second we can all just admit, hey man, I have questions, I have doubts. And the second you can admit you're always going to have some doubts is when you can begin to overcome them. Doubt is no longer an obstacle you must overcome. Doubt simply becomes an issue to manage. You just have to know what to do with it. Oh, that's a good question. All right, I'm going to pray about it. Jesus, what do you think about this? Help me. Show me. See, that's the key. Doubt is good. Because doubt means you're in the middle between belief and unbelief. I guarantee you, there are a lot of people out there that don't believe in God and they have no doubts about it. If you have doubts, it's because you're wrestling. And it's because you're thinking. And it's because you're engaged. And Jesus says, that's exactly where I want you. There's nothing wrong with that. Just bring it to me. And so what he does is he ends this entire conversation with a plea directly to you. This is what he says. He says, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to me with your fears and with your concerns and with your questions and with your contradictions and with the things you don't understand. Come to me when you see so many of your people who claim to follow Christ, yet they don't look anything like the Bible you read. Come to me with that and say, what's going on? And I'll look back and you say, bothers me too. Come to me with your questions, with your heavy burdens, and I will give. Some of you are being so crushed by the weight of your doubts and your questions. You don't know what to do. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and let me teach you. See, a yoke, yoke was something they put on the oxen to help pull when they were plowing crops and stuff. But people would also wear yokes to carry things, and it was a way to carry burdens. And what Jesus is saying is like, you got to stop trying to do this yourself. Take off your yoke. Take off your way. Take off what's been doing for you and put on my way. Let me guide you. Let me be in charge. And what you're going to find is it's light. Because you don't have to worry about all those things. When you have a question, let's ask. Let's talk about it. But that doesn't have to be the proof of your faith. Having questions doesn't mean you don't have faith. Having questions just means you're human and I'm God. And there are always going to be things you don't understand. You will always have questions. We have a lifetime to answer them, and then we have an eternity to celebrate them. So do not let yourself feel guilty because you have questions. Do not wait to begin your relationship with Jesus until all your questions are answered. They never will be. Jesus says, just simply, come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Some of you today, you just need some rest for your souls because you have been wrestling. And you want to believe so badly, but you feel like, I got to get rid of these doubts before I believe. And I believe that's why we have the story of the man who literally heard God speak to him and still had questions and doubts. I don't believe anyone in this room has ever looked up in the sky, seen a bird descending, and heard God speak. Unless it was drug-induced. And that was not God. If John the Baptist had questions and doubts and Jesus didn't get mad at him, we can all have questions and doubts and he will not get mad at us. He just asks us to come to him, to bring them to him, and let him answer them in his own time. And he will. And see, the truth you have that you know is true, the reason you're wrestling is because you know it's true because you've experienced it. God has changed something in your life and you can't explain it. Or God has changed something in a friend's life and you can't explain it. Or there have been times where an indescribable peace and comfort has come over you. And the only thing you can figure out is that must have been God. But all these questions, but that must have been God. But all these questions, that must have been God. But all these questions. And Jesus says, yeah, it was God. And just bring me your questions. Come on. Just bring them. Let me help you with them. We'll do it together. What I came for, man. Like I died for you. You think your questions bother me? I know you have them. Let's talk. So my prayer today is that many of you will find freedom, that you will walk out of here able to engage God and have an honest conversation with, man, I got a bunch of questions, but I'm willing to have the conversation with you. So what I want to do now is I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And then we're going to close with a song. And I hope you'll listen to the words, maybe even sing along, because the hope is that this song will really kind of cement this message and cement this point that, man, despite your circumstances, despite your expectations, God is God, and he's there. And we just have to go to him. And when we do, he'll always answer. So let me pray. God, we love you so much. Father, we just thank you for who you are, and we thank you for your patience with us, and we thank you that you love us so much, and we thank you that you love our questions and that you desire questions. And as we have doubts and we wrestle, we can bring them directly to you, and you will joyfully answer them and patiently teach us what it is you want us to know. Father, I pray for specifically for the people who came in here today believing they couldn't have faith because they had questions. Father, I pray that they leave here believing that their questions can actually strengthen their faith when they pray them to you. So may they take that step, and may you speak to every one of us. It's in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.